Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Backwitz. Leafs lose to Boston again. Hi, Bob.
Matt, I want to call this the Coffees for Closers edition of Macko and Cause.
Love
emergency
it.
Podcast. I was...
Put that stopwatch down, Mike Babcock. Stopwatch is for closers. You think I'm tough? Huh? Oh, man, we could go full Glengarry Glen Ross.
It's a lot of guys getting steak knives and a few who are going to get fired. And if you haven't seen Glengarry Glen Ross, do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Some of the best acting in the last 30 years.
Yeah. It's like this. You put Tavares out for 22 minutes and you solve the penalty kill, you get a Cadillac. I see Marlowe in the game late, you're fired.
I don't think he's going to be fired.
No,
where do you
course.
Want to start, actually? You were at the game last night.
Oh, no, I was at the Raptors
game. Right.
The funny thing is, I was at the Raptor game, so I am disappointed, but I don't think I have the same level of emotion because I wasn't sitting and watching so much of that stinkhole of a game last night. Actually, what I have to do, I turn my phone off. I got to go back and turn it on because I need to read your texts. So I'll throw this first question to you, then I'm going to go get my phone.
Okay, because I sent you a series
yes.
of angry texts.
Yes.
I forgot that you were at the Raptors game.
Yeah.
And I was like, why isn't that Thick getting back to me? Isn't he watching this? I sent about two periods worth of angry texts, and then I finally remembered, he's working tonight. Okay, well,
Okay, but here's my question to you.
Okay.
The three goals that count, that anyone cares about, not the shorthanded ones, were scored by a bunch of nobodies. Marcus Johansson is a somebody a little bit, but your thoughts on those goals in terms of how much was that on Freddie and how much was that on the defense?
Well, Matt, it takes a village to blow it that badly. It started with the defense. I think let's just cut to the chase. Freddie had a bad game. You can call it subpar, but if you're in a game seven, the greatest indicator as to whether you're going to win or not
mm-hmm.
is how's your goalie?
Yeah.
How's your mother? How's your goalie? Your goalie plays well, you got a really good chance. Your mm-hmm. goalie plays okay, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah.
They play badly, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And they did. Now, you can look at Dermott and Gardner.
And you should.
And you should. Because they made mistakes.
They did.
But they were also mistakes that led to situations like that first goal in particular.
Got to make that save.
You just got to.
Yeah.
You just got to. And Tuukka Rask made good saves. To this point, Freddie Anderson had outplayed Tuukka Rask, more or less. And in the final game, he didn't.
Yeah.
And here's what I think, okay, Matt. So there's a lot of topics today. We're going to cover Babcock and ice time and lineup roster choices. PK, what's in it? We're going to cover it all.
Matthews, Nylander, they're all out. The Kadri.
Right. We got time.
Yeah.
Settle in.
Yeah.
We're going to talk Leafs.
Yeah.
But right now, here's what I kind of want to throw out. Here's my general observation from last night. And then you can get to my texts after.
Yeah.
Life's not fair.
No.
Life's not fair.
And life's extra not fair in NHL playoffs.
Right. And that's kind of what we like about sports.
Yeah.
You know how we talk about like a Sean Corrali scores? Sean Corrali's not great.
No.
But the moment was there,
mm-hmm.
and he seized it.
Yep.
So for a guy like John Tavares, who also scored, but today we're talking about Sean Corrali,
yeah.
that's not fair.
No.
It's not fair.
No, Sean Corrali was like a fifth-round pick, third year in the league. Yeah,
he's
grinder.
Fine. He's fine.
He's a grinder.
He's fine. Tavares is great.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
But this is what's interesting about it, is it's in this way, sports kind of mirror life, and we all know this. Most of life's boring. Some people have exciting lives. You have one. You go out of your way to make it that way.
Did I tell you about my trip to Spain?
Yeah, you have.
Have I? Okay.
We'll get into that at the end. But most of life is just sort of process. You go through the mode, you know, you do what you do every day. You wake up, you make your bed, you hope for good results. Every once in a while, something important happens. And most of your life is determined by what did you do in the moments where everything came together?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You had to make a choice or you had to stand and deliver.
Yep.
I'm sure, like, I haven't been there yet, but when I'm on my deathbed, I'm sure I'm going to look back, and I'm not going to remember all the days I made my bed.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember the big moments.
Mm-hmm.
Break up with that girl or not. you know, propose or not, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Life's not fair.
By the way,
it comes down to moments.
On a side note, I hope you don't remember how you proposed because that stunk.
That was pretty bad. I didn't deserve the marriage that gave her, but that's for sure. For another day, So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at today is I'm really comfortable with the fact that life's not fair. Mm-hmm. And last night, what you watched was a Leafs team that played a really good Boston team, basically to a draw. And then in game seven,
yep,
that's what we're going to remember.
Yeah.
Not game five, not game one. We're going to remember that when it mattered, they didn't deliver.
They didn't. Before this, there was two opportunities at home. No. Game four, go up 3-1. Nope. Game six could have ended the series at home. Nope. And, you know, we've discussed those games in the past. This was a series of blown opportunities by the Maple Leafs. I didn't think they had a chance to win last year. I'm shocked how close it was in 2013. But that's the disappointing thing, is that this year they could have done it. And then, you know, the field is wide open. Because if you're Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, you're throwing yourself off the topest building and you're slashing your wrists on the way down as you're looking at the landscape of who's left.
It's not only is the, I mean, the playoffs, you know, it's become scrambled eggs at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a total jumble. And I've never seen a regular season look this meaningless before.
Yeah, I know. And last year wasn't like it. This year is probably an outlier. But right now, the biggest star, what is it? It's Ovechkin.
Nathan McKinnon.
Yep, Nathan McKinnon. But are you really rooting for the 90-point Colorado Avalanche?
I suppose hipsters do.
Yeah, you know this. You know what the Stanley Cup
Columbus. You cheer for Columbus at
Columbus,
this point.
You know, and why? Because Tortorella's fun. Matt Duchene escaped Ottawa and Seth Jones.
Well, and
that's still not a
Seth
lot.
Seth Jones. And okay, so should we be mad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At last night? Yes.
We should.
We should absolutely be mad. And speaking of mad, before we get to specific mads, let's read Bob's.
Okay, so you set
night.
This up because I'm in my basement.
Yeah.
I sit on my exercise ball, you know, one of those red, big, bouncy balls.
Yeah.
I sit on that and I get real close to the screen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about 18 inches away from the screen. It's 55-inch television.
This is very Shining-esque of you.
Right, and I just jack torrents right into it.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at anybody. And when something bad happens, I want to curse.
Yeah.
And I decided I'm going to try not to do it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So you became the object of my anger.
Yeah. So this starts coming in around 8:12 p.m. I'm going to do the bleeps.
Are you going to do the bleeps?
Yeah, no.
You should do the bleeps.
Because there's a lot of
them. There is, yeah.
Yeah. These effing bums, read this tomorrow and remind me how I feel. 88 bleeping games for this. Then comes the next text.
That was 2-0, by the way.
Yeah. Then comes the next text. Leave bleeping PP1 on. It's an ozone face-off. Here's 1 minute left. Zero shots on goal by PP2. Babcock, you idiot. Then, Marlowe offside. Bleep me. Then, and I haven't responded to any of these because I'm doing the Raptors
game. I'm getting madder.
Just
on where the hell are you?
On your ball. Is it my imagination or is the fourth line on a lot? If Babs likes the wingers so much, skate them with Nylander. ! And then I finally respond, gonna reading this tomorrow. Great text by me. And then you write, if I start tapping about process, I'm imagining talking. Yeah. If I start talking about process and whatever, remind me to pull my head out of my ass, down by one, Matthews or Tavares should always be on. Then I write, done. And then your last tweet, bleep me with a chainsaw.
That was post-game. My post-game presser right there.
Yeah, that was your post-game presser, which would have been more satisfying than Babcock's. And then I just wrote, going to need a drop cloth at my place for that one if we did.
Which I thought was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of American Psycho when he said, you know, bleep me with a chainsaw.
Well, I brought up chainsaw in a fairly, you know, non-traditional context.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and probably ill-advised.
Yeah. So there's your text. And let's go through the rage.
Okay.
No, seriously,
there's a lot of topics in there,
Let's first start. Let's just start with the easy one. Let's go to the low hanging fruit, Austin Matthews. Because a lot of times when you see he doesn't play a lot of minutes, you're like, well, he doesn't kill penalties. That's why he's not on the ice. Fair enough. Logical. Rational. Makes sense. There was no penalty kills last night. Imagine someone said to you, hey, game 7, you know, there'll be no even strength goals from the first line and Boston wouldn't have a power play. Yet, Leafs lose, but Austin Matthews, under 19 minutes, second fewest minutes for Matthews in the series, in an elimination game, in a series where the Leafs trailed throughout. What the bleep?
There really isn't a good answer.
Yeah.
I guess you could say maybe Matthews, he thought that line wasn't getting it done. But once you get to the third period and that third goal goes in, whatever happened before that doesn't matter. And here's why everybody's frustrated. Last year, what was the story about Matthews and time?
Oh, it wasn't scoring.
Right. And he wasn't happy, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't happy enough about it.
Yeah.
This year, we saw him come. He's been the most consistent and dominant offensive player on the Leafs this year.
Yes.
You are behind.
Yes.
And you are not giving your $11 million player ice time in favor of putting out Freddie Gauthier.
Yeah. And that's...
It's just a bad decision.
It is.
It's only bad. Like, there. You know how you said, like, let's talk about it? Mm-hmm. In a weird sort of way... There's nothing to talk about because there is literally no point you can make that says, hey, Babcock, I see what you were doing. You know what he was doing? He was validating Babcock. You know who he was in that moment? Remember Robert Shaw on the Orca?
Yep.
When he's got the engine revved.
Yeah. And they're all telling him to slow down.
Right. Richard Dreyfuss is like, the engine's going to blow. And he goes, shut up. And then he does that. Yeah. While he's driving.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The engine blows.
He
was Robert Shawing this.
Of course, Quint gets eaten by the shark. And something tells me Babcock ain't going to get eaten, at least not this year.
Was the shark wearing like really nerdy glasses?
Yeah, really nerdy analytics glasses. Had a smart jacket on and a hipster tie. What?
I don't know how to make a meme, but somebody needs to put Babcock's face on dying Quint and Dubas glasses on the shark.
On the shark. That's a tough one.
I couldn't do that. I could barely describe it.
It's not even just the third period. Matthews and Tavares only played 12 minutes through the first two periods. Unacceptable. I don't know if this is stubbornness, arrogance, the two of them combined. I don't know which one you do more, but that one, to me, unacceptable. And listen, Matthews wasn't great on the first two goals. You know, had a chance to clear on the first one, couldn't do it. On the second one, yeah, Jake Gardner, number one person I'm blaming, period, end of statement. But there was miscommunication behind the net between Jake Gardner, who was behind the net, and Matthews, who was sort of skating around a little bit. So, but I don't even care. Matthews should not be averaging 6 minutes in the first two periods in a game you trailed elimination.
Here's what
I've
come to realize about mistakes in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if John Tavares had made a turnover in his own end and it led to a bad goal, we would go, oh man, that's too bad. If Jake Gardner does it, we go, that drives me nuts because he always does this.
Yeah.
And mistakes are so much worse when they confirm your fears. When you say this person is weak for these reasons and then they do something completely on brand.
Yeah.
The Jake mistakes, right? So he's playing with a bad back. People are like, oh, he's 60, 70% out there. He hasn't had a great series, but you know what? If it's the regular season, he's probably not playing at all. But he made a Jake mistake.
He did.
And that's good enough. So what Babcock here did was confirmation bias. Right? He's stubborn. He doesn't play his stars enough.
Yep.
He's got his system. He's quinting this. I'm going to do it my way. And it totally cost them. Would the game have been different if Matthews and Tavares had played more?
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
But you know what a bad idea was? His idea. You know how I know? Yeah. They lost.
Also, I'm gonna read you a tweet that's going to make you angry.
Okay.
This was from a Boston...
Do you have a chainsaw nearby?
Yeah. Well, Bob, you asked for it. Here's the Black & Decker. It's going to get red. There's a Boston Bruins writer named Matt Porter. Here's what he tweeted out.
Okay.
Word from the Bruins room. They didn't do anything different on the PK, and they were surprised... The Leafs didn't play their top power play unit more. So the Bruins players, surprised, another word for surprised, relieved.
It's like they were like, phew, thank God Babcock didn't do that. That would have scared us if they had, you know, played that unit even more.
In the final minutes of Game 6, Marlowe played only behind Austin Matthews in terms of ice time.
Yeah.
Last night, when they're desperate to score, down two goals, Marlowe is out there. Marlowe has one even strength goal since the end of February.
Yeah.
He's not good. Now, he might even do little things well, or you trust him to do smart things, but you know what you don't trust him to do? Contribute to offense when you're down two.
Yeah. Little things are fine. He can't do the big things.
Right. And more importantly, he can't do exactly the only thing you need, which is to score. Why are you not sending out the nuclear option at that point? Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh does it. Chicago did it. There were times when they needed a goal where they're like, you know what? We're just going to rustle up all our best players and go nuclear on the other team for 50 to 60 seconds and see if we can't generate something. But Babcock's obstinance was to just stick to his system. And you know what? Coaching in football and coaching in hockey are very different. But one thing I think is true, if a football coach had a plan that wasn't working and they ultimately lost and they made no changes and adjustments throughout the course of the game, you would say, that guy's a bad coach.
Yeah.
Hockey, I think we give too many free passes for that. Bruce Cassidy didn't have to adjust. Mike Babcock put anything in his way that forced him to adjust.
Mike Babcock made Bruce Cassidy's job easier on Tuesday night. And stick with Marlowe for a second. Is this just Babcock hoping, if this works out, I'm going to look like a hero? I will look like a hero. Was he waiting for his Hollywood moment where the grizzled vet rises up and justifies all of Babcock's minutes distribution?
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go.
Let's. I feel like we could just get mad for 50 minutes and then I go, chicka.
Yeah.
So let's just divide this up into topics. Let's make this we're autopsying the game. Yeah. Babcock's first.
Okay. Okay. We've done that.
And then we'll move on to something. I'm not done.
Okay.
Because I want to point something out.
Go.
The presser that you alluded to, I thought was really interesting for two reasons. One, he came out and everything he said was right. Everything he said. We didn't get a save. They just threw it at the net. I was shocked when it was 3-1. He was right. The Leafs played, at the very least, the Bruins to a draw through the first two periods. But the score didn't indicate that.
Nope.
Freddie Anderson was bad. And any coach will tell you, you give me a bad goalie, I'll give you a loss. He was right about that. He was also right when Boston scored that third goal, the Leafs deflated.
Yeah.
The Leafs deflated. Now, put this in context. San Jose was down 3-0 in the third at home, facing elimination, and scored four times. Joe Thornton skated over to the bench after Pavelski was knocked down and hurt and said, we're going to fucking score three times. And then they went and did it. Now, I'm not going to say like hero ball narrative, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I saw in the Leafs? Quit. I saw quit. I saw they were on the road. They got a bad break. They had, like, at that point, 17 minutes to score two goals with one of the most offensively dynamic rosters in the league.
Yep.
And they let Boston put the boot on their throats and hold them down. And I think Babcock alluded to that without really throwing his roster underneath. But when he said, you know, we kind of deflated at 3-1. I thought that was a real indictment of that team.
Yeah.
He didn't do everything he could to put his best lineups out there. And when Steve Simmons said, well, what was the thinking behind Marlowe? What did Babcock do next? Shuffled it off and walked out. He was happy to stand there and field questions and talk about how shit Anderson was, or how his team didn't do this, or I thought they actually looked pretty good, which was, you know, on him. But when someone actually questioned his strategy in a moment where his small things mattered, he stood up and walked out, and I thought that was gutless. Stand there and answer the freaking question. Stand there and answer some more. You know why? You're the coach, and you make $8 million a year.
I got nothing to add. That was good, Bob. Take that sip of coffee, that triumphant sip of coffee.
Coffee's for closers.
That was,
this is why I didn't tweet last night. Yeah, this is the calmer version.
Ah, emotional, Bob. Bob, that's one of the most emotional I've seen you on this podcast about sports. Non-sports, plenty.
Yeah. We'll talk about like what's the right cheese for nachos and go nuts.
I have
Monterey Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, Monterey Jack.
Cheddar's good too, though.
Cheddar's good. I'm fine with both of those. I got nothing to add to that. The only thing really I can do is a small aside, because you nailed all of that, is last night represented the first time in recorded history that Twitter liked Steve Simmons. Last night was a night where Twitter was like, hooray, Steve Simmons. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Am I getting punked? Where's Ashton Kutcher? But yes, so, but yeah, that was a great point by you.
Timely reference.
Timely Punk, reference. Wow. Punk. Is it 2005?
Man, that Paris Hilton.
Oh,
what's with her?
These sex tapes, that's going to embarrass her. Anyone who does one of those, all it's going to do is ruin their career. I'm embarrassed for her.
All right. I just pontificated for a while.
Good.
I was soapboxing. What's your big takeaway? Mine's Life's Not Fair and I'm mad at Babcock, although I do think he actually did a pretty good job. At a lot of things that he probably won't get credit for.
Mm-hmm. We've really kind of covered it. I mean, a couple other just little things. Mitch Marner, after game 3, 1 assist, -6, 6 total shots in 4 games. That's one of the notes that I came out of all this. Nylander, again, no shots, no hits in 16 minutes. He's nowhere near the number one problem on this team. Put it this way. If, let's say, Nylander had signed a team-friendly contract, I don't think we'd be as angry as him. Did he produce results? No. Was he the main reason why they lost? He wasn't. Again, if I'm going to go on one individual player, still goes down to Kadri. It's the same thing I said a couple days ago. It still goes down on Kadri for all the domino effect that we discussed on the last podcast. I don't know. Maybe I should be angrier at Nylander. He's got to be better. He's got to be better next year. And he has to look at this season. This season was a failure for him. But he was also put in a very difficult position because Kadri was selfish.
I don't know, for all the talk about Nylander could be a center, if that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too early to say. He's a young guy. He hasn't done it a lot at this level. You throw them out there against Boston in a tough playoff series. But the idea that you don't need Kadri because Nylander can play center, I think that's more on paper than in reality.
Yeah.
Kadri made the jump from wing to center.
Yeah.
But it took time, and I don't know if the Leafs have the same amount of time anymore. I feel like the breathing room is over. That's what I kind of got from last night, was there was this idea that, your young stars, they're going to get better. And, the Washington series from a few years ago, that was super exciting. Because even though they lost, they really stepped up.
Yeah.
Last year felt like a bit of a step back. But this year, with Tavares in place and Muzzin playing as well as he did, it kind of felt like now's the time for the team to stop being young and promising and to start delivering.
Now,
so the whole Nylander at center thing, I don't know if you have 2 years to...
No, you don't. You
I don't know if you have 2 years to watch Travis Dermott get better and not make those kinds of mistakes.
It's next year, it's about Kadri back on the third line and you send him to some sort of spiritual retreat. The talent is there. But here's the thing about, and you're 100% right, is that the expectations are going to be so different next year. The breathing room, you're right, it's going to get a lot tighter. The counter to all of that is that Braden Point, Victor Hedman, and Kucherov, those guys have never even been to, or they've never won a Stanley Cup. And Tampa got swept, and Pittsburgh got swept, and Winnipeg lost and never won at home, and Calgary was the one seed, and they lost in the first round to a team with 90 points. At the very least, the Leafs, they lost to a Bruins team that had the third most points and the third best goal differential behind only Tampa and Calgary. So Toronto lost to a far better team than what happened to Tampa and Calgary. That's the pushback on the other side to this.
I think you're right. But remember how in the Raptors arc, like they played Brooklyn, they lost in game 7.
Yep.
It was close.
Yep.
but everybody felt really good about the future.
Yeah.
And then they kept running into Cleveland. And at first you were like, well, you know, I kind of understand, but I was sort of struck in my own mind about the parallels between the two obstacles these teams faced.
Yeah.
Like one was LeBron and the other one's Boston, but it's the same kind of thing year after year. You can't just keep making the same.
Oh no. Like, and it was the same.
And this is it. This is it. This is like the Raptors were going into last year.
Yeah.
You remember how there was almost a sort of do or die mentality for the Raptors last year. And yep. when they died, it got blown up.
Yeah, it died in the final 5 minutes of game one against Cleveland where they had the lead and they choked it all away in a horrible half court offense. And at that point, it was like, goodbye, DeMar DeRozan. We need someone better. And damn, Kawhi Leonard.
Woo-hoo-hoo! We should probably spend some time talking about that before we wrap Woo-hoo-hoo. Up. Anyway, maybe it's a little premature to say like the Leafs are there because their young players are still getting better and getting better. But I think even in terms of the fan base and in terms of the salary cap realities,
yep.
the honeymoon's over now.
Yes.
The honeymoon is over. You can be disappointed, but I don't think you can be mad at the Leafs at this point. Next year, if they flame out again in the first round.
Anger. Pure, unadulterated, just dip right in. I think
that's where your coach gets fired, like a Dwayne Casey got fired. Yeah. That's where you start going, okay, maybe we're not built right. One more year.
Yeah. Here's how I feel about the emotion. This year, I'll give you 48 hours. You can be mad. But then after that, take a step back, and I think it's more about being disappointed. But you, to your point, if they lose in the first round next year, you can be mad all summer long. It can be the August long weekend, and you can be just floating on a sea of anger. Feel free. I think it's anger, and then after that, it's disappointment.
So I want to go back to my earlier soapboxing about Babcock.
Go.
Here's why, ultimately, today, I feel mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more mad in the sense of not just disappointed or whatever, but I think he asked for it in the sense that after the trade deadline, he barely hit his feelings that he thought Dubas did not give him what he needed to work with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And at that presser yesterday, he was pretty quick to throw his goalie under the bus and kind of quick to position himself like, hey, I did my job. And I don't think anybody but him really sees it that way. So he's the only one now where I would say he's going into next year on a shorter leash than everybody else. And part of it is because you can question his tactics. And he did a lot of things really well. Muzzin and Zaitsev, did you think that's how this was going to play out?
Very nice job. Great job.
You know?
Yeah.
But the special teams have been bad.
Horrible.
You know, the overvaluing of the contribution of veterans has been wrong.
Yep.
He's on the shortest leash of all, shorter than Nylander, shorter than Kadri.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A couple of thoughts. One, I want to be a fly in the wall. Actually, not a fly. Who wants to be a fly? I want to be a majestic unicorn in the corner when Babcock flies to Arizona to hang out with Austin Matthews. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, can I get a court transcript of that conversation? I would like that. Also, for leadership comes in many forms. I think Patrick Marleau has to say to Babcock, I need to be on the fourth line. And I mean, this is, you know, this will never happen. And Marlo's got to go, you know what, coach? I need to sit some games out. If we want to get the best version of me, and especially the best version of me in the playoffs, this Iron Man streak that no one cares about, it's wonderful. It plays into the mythology and the reality of sports and why we love sports is, you know, the guy who plays every night. And there's part of that I admire the hell out of. But I also admire sacrifice. And I'd love to see Marleau go, I got to play fewer minutes. I see my weaknesses. I can still contribute, but not in the way, coach, you envision I can.
That's a great observation. I think that's a great observation because here's a guy who's never won a cup.
Yeah.
And he's on a team that has cup aspirations, real ones.
Yeah.
And he can be part of it next year, but not the way that he's been up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't.
No.
So if you're going to stick around, you have to accept a lesser role. And his...
He might have to tell Babcock, give me a lesser role, because what we saw in the playoffs this year, he ain't getting a lesser role.
And this is where a coach has to be a grown-up. In the same way, like when a player's hurt and they say, I'm okay to go back, I'll skate through the concussion.
Yeah.
You need players that are willing to be sort of so blinded to the reality because they want to compete so bad. Like, you need that.
Yeah.
So this is where the grown-ups in the room have to say no. Like, you talk about the Arizona meeting. I don't know where Marleau spends his off seasons, but you have to fly to him and say, okay, here's the role that we envision you in next year. it's smaller.
Yeah.
You're going to be taking nights off. You're going to be on the fourth line. You're not going to be on the second power play. You're a valued veteran, and we love you.
Yeah.
But you're a marginal player next year. We will trade you if you can't accept that. We will trade you, but if you come back into camp, that's your role. Yeah. They need to have that conversation.
Oh, yeah. And look how, like, Ron Hainsey, who did play fewer minutes this year, was a more effective guy in the playoffs. It's almost like you've got to be like that. Like, you're going to get a couple hundred minutes reduced over the course of the year and games off. Anyway.
How much time do we have?
Oh, no, we got like 25 minutes.
Oh, great. No, we're good. A couple things. Do we need to do ads on an emergency pod? Let's do a shout out to Jeff anyway.
Bob, we don't need to do ads. You know what we can do?
Oh, gosh.
What? Conversations.
All right.
You know, about Jeff Pollock. Mm-hmm. At jeffpollock.com. He's our lawyer. I'll keep this one simple.
Could he defend Babcock's decisions to seat Auston Matthews?
Not only could Jeff Pollock defend Auston Matthews, but at the end of that, or defend Mike Babcock, at the end of that trial, we would be demanding that Kyle Dubas sign Patrick Marleau to a 5-year, $60 million deal. That's how good Jeff Pollock is.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Jeff Pollock, you know, that good of a lawyer. If you need him, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. It's really simple. I've got a lot of fears in my life. You know, I don't know how to fix a flat tire. I worry about my car. I got to deal with my hardwood floors. I don't know how to do any of these things. And there's 100 other things I don't know how to do. I don't know how to properly cook duck. But the law stuff, it's all taken care of. It's like, all right, check. Never deal with that again.
All right.
Oh, also, seatgiant.ca. If you need tickets to Raptor games, because
not the Leafs,
seatgiant.ca. They're our Canadian partner on the show, and everything is in Canadian dollars. You don't have to worry about it being in America and then try to figure it out. And the great thing is, discount code Bob and Matt. Type that in the checkout. You save money. We get a little kickback because it's great. Podcast ain't free. Seatgiant.ca.
Tweet into the night last night, Matty. Mm. Down goes Brown.
Oh.
I think it got retweeted like 3,000 times. It was so good. Just wrote, for everybody who's mad at Babcock, Matthews and Tavares are going to be super rested for their next game.
Yeah. Now, that was your favorite tweet. Here's my favorite tweet from Jay Onright.
Oh, what'd he say?
Which was, don't worry, Canada. We'll still lead off with Leafs coverage throughout the playoffs.
That's pure Jay. Very funny and totally self-referential.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a lot of negatives, and we could even go over more if we wanted to. But were there any positives you took from last night or the series?
The positive I take out of it is that compare and contrast. Last year, the Maple Leafs didn't look like they belonged against Boston. This year, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
That's a check. Also, next year, you know, you've got Tavares and Muzzin. You didn't know that last year.
Yep, those are checks. I think Auston Matthews looks more like a big game player than he did last year.
Yep, needs to work a little on his 200-foot game, but he's a young guy. Yes,
and that'll come. That'll probably come from frustration.
Yeah,
I think he'll probably get so tired of losing, and you see this with great players, like particularly offensive ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you rack up the stats, you get the money, and the really great ones are like, okay, now I got to win.
Yeah,
like that's the only thing left.
Yeah. So, but you're right, Matthews. You know, the where was Matthews? That conversation is no longer there.
So. I'd like to see the evolution of Morgan Rielly. He's entering his great years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about what it means to be an awesome playoff player. The regular season, in a way, which has become so devalued, but in a way it kind of determines the quality of the player.
Yeah.
Like, how good are you? You got 82 games, you know, you don't suffer from small sample size. Trends tend to even out.
Yeah.
And you can see, okay, like, this is who we're dealing with. It's not that it's irrelevant in the playoffs, but clearly something else matters too, in a way that it doesn't in the regular season. And I feel like Morgan Rielly, when he came out to the tunnel to do the post-game interview, he felt like the captain of the team.
He did.
He really felt like the captain of the team.
Yeah.
Like, he was the one who came out and said, we're disappointed, and so on and so forth. Tavares didn't come out. Matthews didn't come out. I kind of feel like in that moment, he got the C.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always one of these conversations that's bigger than what it really is. If I had to vote, I would vote for Morgan Rielly.
Yeah, I'd vote too.
For Morgan Rielly. Just, all right, let's just move on.
And I probably would have picked Tavares before.
Yeah.
But in that moment last night, maybe it's, you know, too much to say, like too much emphasis to put on one little thing, but he just seemed really, really like he had it.
Yeah. Now, is it a little thing? Yeah. It was a big little thing.
It wasn't little.
Oh, no, you said it's a little thing. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe, right. But it's a big little thing.
You know what I was thinking, Maddie? Mm. If I could do anything for Kyle Dubas right now, like if we were on the phone, if we were talking, yo, Kyle, what's up? Here's what I would say to him. Get Alex Anthopoulos' phone number and call him and talk about what just happened with him. Because I remember when Alex Anthopoulos, like after the, you know, 2012 and the big trades that he pulled off and Reyes and all this, and he learned from all that. He put together great players, but they didn't play great as a team.
Yeah.
And he made a determination, I'm only getting great team players. And he actually said, look, I've always been about value and I've always been about analytics. And he did a lot of smart things. But in the end, his teams didn't play as well as they looked on paper. And he kind of made the point, from this point on, fuck the analytics.
Yeah.
I'm going to get great character people with talent and let them figure it out. And I wonder if Dubas maybe shouldn't do that a bit too, because I did look at a team last night. Like, Nylander's terrifically gifted. But for everybody who's frustrated with him, they probably should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Kadri's got grit, but maybe he's an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe you have to look at your roster and say, on paper, I've put together a hell of a team. But they had the reason I picked the Leafs in six is because I thought they had the better players. The reason Boston won is because they had the better team.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about Raptors, Philly.
Yeah.
I think Philly's got the... I mean, Kawhi and Embiid, that's almost a wash.
We'll call it a push.
I give a slight edge to Kawhi. But after that, you know, Butler, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, you know, are better players. But the Raptors are a far better team.
Yeah.
So, which is why I, you know, as long as they win game one, I would take the Raptors in six.
So, yeah, I kind of feel like everybody has to learn after a loss.
Yeah.
And maybe what Dubas needs to learn is that the playoffs are different than the regular season. And all that talk, like, do I think Justin Williams is the greatest player of all time?
No.
No. Do I think it's probably fluky that he's done so well in game seven? Yeah, maybe a little. I don't know.
Well, I heard one interesting just thought, and I got nothing to back it up, but it's an interesting thought, is that analytics are more important in the regular season than the postseason.
That's what I thought last night, too.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because you have 82 games for things to balance out. But the playoffs are not true. The regular season tells you the truth. It determines the quality. But in the playoffs, there's also another truth that kicks in.
Yeah.
And those of us, and you know, I tend to be analytically minded.
Yeah.
And maybe to a fault. Maybe I have to say, when you are looking at just one game, though, no numbers count.
Give me Jonathan Toews.
Yeah. Like, no numbers count. Right? Like, just... Yeah. Maybe there is just a gear that some people have and some people don't. Because Freddie Anderson has like a just below Vezina quality year.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been great in game sevens in his career.
No, he wasn't. You know, he didn't get a lot of, there was times he didn't get help in front of him, but he had to make two of those saves.
You know, so maybe you look at this and you say, okay, well, yeah, he's, everybody who says, well, he's much better than average goalie and he's making a decent salary, like that's great. But you know what? If you can't win your game seven, and the point is to win a championship, who cares?
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, it was their best opportunity. Marner's RFA, Kapanen and Janssen are RFA. Hey, Hainsey played well in the playoffs, UFA. Goodbye to Gardner. You blew two home games, and in front of Boston now is no more Kucherov, Braden Point, Victor Hedman, historic Tampa Bay team. Vasilevskiy is going to win the Vezina. Crosby, Malkin, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Johnny Gaudreau, Patrick Laine, Mark Giordano is going to win the Norris, PK Subban, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele. They're all gone.
Oh, man, hang on a second.
They're all gone. And if Toronto had won, you just replace Marner, Matthews, Tavares with Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand, and, you know, maybe Chara as well. So, before anything else.
Yeah, guy.
Baths in the morning.
Okay.
I've done it a couple times recently because I'm not on air till 2.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken a morning bath.
Mm-hmm.
There's something really nice about it. It is like, it's funny. Like, it's a way you ease into the day, like easing into a bath. Like, it's absolutely the word I like to use more than any other word that everyone hates. It's delightful.
All right. So You came to the right guy, Matt.
Yeah.
Because I am something of a bath expert.
Okay.
I have taken a lot of baths over my years. Mm-hmm. I was once, when I was in a rock band, the guy said we could tour anywhere in the world as long as there was a U-Haul hitched up to the back of the trailer, the truck, with a bathtub in it.
Nice.
I don't agree with the morning bath.
Okay.
Here's why.
Yeah.
It's too nice. It ruins your day.
Right.
It's really hard to have a very productive day.
Mm.
It's great for the weekend.
Yeah.
Or if you're up north or you're goofing around. Like if you got nothing to do in front of you, glorious. You say delightful, I say glorious. But 99% of the days, you kind of got to do something.
I know, but I did that. Got up early, did the pod, going to go into work. I got to go do some technical stuff with the pod afterwards. I'm trying to learn how to do it so that if we're not in the same place together. So I'm actually going to try to learn that after the show today. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be productive today. But I think the one thing about the bath is the bath can represent the highlight of the day. And as you get out, you realize, oh, well, I peaked and it's 7:53 a.m.
Okay, now I should stipulate, when I take a bath, I'm very serious about it.
Mm.
Dim the lights.
Oh.
Epsom salts.
Okay.
Usually some music.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of, there's a courtship.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Prince album. Like, one of my baths. Like, it's got to, you know, it's got to mean something, Matt. Mm-hmm. It's a romance. Yeah. It's not a fling. So, I almost feel like if you're able to do stuff afterwards, you've kind of disrespected the bath.
Oh, okay. I get that. Yeah. I get that.
All right. Well, I want to talk raps with you in a second, but I got to throw something out. I have a goal now for the summer because it's the off season for us
mm-hmm.
with the Leafs out.
Mm-hmm.
My niece, Simone,
yep,
is an amazing swimmer. She's like 11 now, I guess. I'm bad with numbers like this, but like to put it in context, she's competitive. She goes to races and all this. And I found out just how hard her workouts are. And they destroy mine.
Oh, yeah?
They destroy them. Like, she's doing double the amount I am in the pool.
Yeah.
At least. So now, and call me, you know, petty, but my whole goal this summer is to be able to do a better workout than my 11-year-old niece.
Motivation comes in many forms, Bob.
Is that petty or is that honorable?
It's not honorable. We can go to that. We can debate petty. We don't have to debate honorable. That one, the case is closed. No. That's like nothing honorable about
And I'll
that.
Never tell her.
Yeah.
No. I just want to be able to look at her and say, I'm a better swimmer than you.
Yeah.
I like Which it. I can't right now.
Well, you set the bar low.
No, I didn't.
But it's, you know, if it motivates you, then it's good. I remember like my version of that whenever I was running marathons, I would always go by the ass theory. If the person in front of me had a fat ass, I'm like, well, I should be faster than them.
Or old.
You know? Yeah, or old. But then if I saw someone with a great ass, because, you know, when you're running, all you're doing is looking at the people in front of you. A
lot of asses.
A lot of ass. If the ass in front of me, male or female, is like a good-looking ass, I'm like, that is an in-shape butt. There's no shame in being behind that butt. You know? So that was my sort of petty, maybe shallow sort of thing, is I would sometimes judge my pace by, you know, the posterior in front of me.
I think that that's motivational.
Yeah.
And a lot more noble than looking at your 11-year-old niece and saying, I need to be a better athlete than you.
Yeah, yeah.
I gave up trying to be better than my nephews who were like in high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, you gotta do that. Yeah. They're just, they're always going to be more fit at this point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I did a race with my nephew a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was really important for me to win because I knew that would be it.
Yeah.
He'd be 1 year older. I'd be 1 year older. Now, Simone, I'm coming for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think I can do it.
She's in your crosshairs.
She's really, Bob. She's really good, though.
Bob Mackowitz, good father, bad uncle.
Whereas you are a great uncle.
Yeah.
And not a father.
And not a father at all.
Maybe there's a correlation.
Maybe.
Any final thoughts on the Leafs before we just go over the Raptors and then wrap up?
Nope.
Okay, well, my final thought on the Leafs are, there's going to be big changes coming, but that's simply necessitated by the cap.
Yep.
I think you have to not panic and basically stay the course with this group. But if I were to add, and I know this is kind of ridiculous, it's not sandpaper that they need. I think what they need, though, is...
maturity?
Yeah. Thank you. You found the word I was searching for. And Marlowe has been that, But you get to a point where you just can't contribute anymore, and well, you can't be that guy.
The problem is the way we view Marlowe, it's not all his fault. It's Babcock's fault. It's right. Babcock who's the one throwing him out there. We could view Marlowe, we'd view Marlowe in a different way, but Babcock won't allow us to.
You saw how important the addition of Jake Muzzin was for the players around him, particularly Zaitsev, who's never looked better than he does right now playing with Muzzin. And I think they just need a couple more players like that. They don't need to be the best players on the team. They won't be able to afford that. But they're going to need some maturity because I think the next phase is learning how to win. They've learned how to be great players, but now they've got to learn how to be winning players.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I got to tell you, the basketball crowd, spoiled.
Why is that?
And by the way, rightfully so. The atmosphere in the series-ending game last night, it was like a Tuesday game against, you know, Minnesota. It's because it's a smart basketball crowd. They knew what was going to happen. They looked at Orlando and said, that team stinks. They're not going to do anything.
And they came out, like they shot out to a 31-9 lead.
They were up 22-3 with 4:50 to go.
wow.
It was incredible. And the funny thing is, anyone who says today, Lowry played really well. I wish he could have scored a little more. Smack them. Because Lowry finished with like 14 points. But you know when he got 12 of those 14? When the Raptors went on a 22-3 run. At that point, Lowry could sort of just go, all right, clap his hands, job well done. 9 assists, 4 rebounds, but he forced not one, not two, 3 charges, including one on Vucevic, got Vucevic's third foul in the first quarter. And Vucevic, boom, he's out of the game. That was a great game for Kyle Lowry.
They're not going to win unless he's good.
If you get the Orlando version of Kyle Lowry, they'll beat Philly. To beat Milwaukee, you're going to have to get a better version. Just one that, he can't have an offer. You can have an offer against Orlando. You can't have an offer against Philly, and you definitely can against Milwaukee.
So I feel like the Raptors starters and the Philly starters, I like the Raptors starters a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Philly has excellent top-end talent, I feel like the team is really rounding into form.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam has become a legitimate number two option.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi's playing great.
Yeah.
And Kyle Lowry, when he's dialed in, is absolutely critical and fantastic.
Yes.
So,
and Gasol, so smart.
You know, it could be 6-7 games. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk at all. But when push comes to shove, I feel like they should beat Philly.
Yes.
In a close, good series.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Well, let's see.
They look so good.
They do look so good.
But everybody looked good in the first round.
Yeah, exactly. They Milwaukee beat up a Detroit Pistons team where Blake Griffin wasn't 100%.
Right.
You know. Milwaukee should be the favorite. They're incredible. But I think the Raptors, by that point, OG and Anunoby will be back from the appendicitis issue.
Hopefully.
And between Anunoby, Siakam, Ibaka, and Kawhi, there's enough guys there to throw, to just slow down-ish Giannis.
If you look at the numbers, the Raptors starters annihilated the Magic starters.
Yeah, killed them.
Right. And the bench wasn't very good for the Raptors, mm-hmm. but it really didn't have to be.
It didn't have to be.
Because the margin of victory was totally tilted towards the starting five.
Yeah.
I think that'll carry through to Philadelphia, although less dramatically so. But against Milwaukee, the bench is going to, like, the bench can't be killable.
Oh, no. What has to happen is the bench has to, they can't be outscored by more than two.
Right.
Like, you know, they've either got
to fight to a draw.
It's either, a minus two to a draw. You do that, then you'll be in a good spot. And Norm Powell has played well the last two games. So that is certainly something.
Yeah, Norm drives me crazy.
I know.
He drives everybody crazy.
Yeah.
He reminds me a bit of Terrence Ross from back in the day, in that you would see a game every once in a while and you go, oh my God, he's putting it together. This is exactly the guy we wanted. Mm-hmm. And then that would go away for three or four games.
Yeah.
And then come back again.
Yep.
Like, his inconsistency is maddening. I think it's going to come down to Serge in a lot of ways. Can Serge come off the bench and really anchor that effort?
Yeah. And just, you know, hit his open shots and play good defense.
That's it. Like, protect the rim and hit open shots when you got them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of that simple.
Well, now we just got to wait Friday or Saturday for the first game. Toronto took 3 out of 4 from Philly. Their three wins were all by double digits. When they lost, they got blown out. Kawhi wasn't in that game. Jimmy Butler was a member of Philly for 3 of those 4. It's going to be a great series. And I think, as I said last time, everyone needs to be rooting for the Raptors because they proved, and they're a bit of an outlier, they proved you can be competitive without the high draft pick. Meanwhile, Philadelphia had 4 years where they went 75 and 253. It was an embarrassment to the NBA. I get why they did it, but man, I felt bad for those, that home crowd, and for every dollar spent by any of the season ticket holders.
They rescued themselves from the scrap heap of unlikability.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we got rid of Dwayne Casey, whom everyone loved,
yeah,
in favor of Nick Nurse. And, you know, as much as I wasn't crazy about that move, you know, you got rid of DeMar DeRozan, whom everybody loved, in favor of Kawhi.
Yep.
Masai, who used to be so vocal and out there, has really drifted into the background. He's kind of Shanahan-esque in a lot of ways this year.
It's just true.
You just don't hear from Masai.
Yeah,
this year.
I miss F. Brooklyn.
And he was such a great, lovable part of the community. And you just don't see that as much this year. And I'm sure that was conscious. I think he took a real beating and thought, I'm going to pull back and just let the team do the talking. And so now it's put up or shut up time, mm-hmm. but they are actually likable again. And even though we would love to have both teams in the playoffs moving forward, I found with the Leafs, like, it just sucked all the energy out of the Raptors. The Leafs have more runs in them. This is the Raptors' time.
This is it.
This is it. Like, yeah. The one thing I'm kind of grateful for in a weird backhanded way is now I can put all my Raptors love back into the team.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard to when both are going now. You're right. And unless that 20, 30, 40% chance Kawhi stays here, it's a one run and it's the last run.
Right.
Yeah.
Before, are we wrapping up?
We're wrapping up. Just one final thought.
Okay.
I think it's around 96, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Avengers. Endgame.
Guess who has preview tickets to see it tomorrow night?
Wait. I'm really good at this. There's a guy I knew in junior school called Philip Potvin. I haven't seen him in 25 years. Is it him?
It is. Phil and I are going.
Nice. He was an odd cat.
I think I'm not going to like it.
God, don't do this. 97%. But by the critics, even the top critics, even the highfalutin ones, the ones who read The New Yorker and tisk tisk on the middle states. Come on.
Don't play the blue collar movie viewer.
It doesn't see.
I was wrong though about Game of Thrones, because I thought Game of Thrones was gonna trend downwards.
Yeah.
And it shot way up through two episodes. So it could be really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so quickly. Because pretty soon we'll both know the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do roll call here.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, gone?
No.
So gone.
Okay.
Replaced by Bucky.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, I forgot about Bucky. Yeah, okay. Captain America gone. Yeah.
So I guess in theory, like, or technically, Captain America not gone, but Steve Rogers gone. Does
Thor is the big one. Does he live because Pepper Potts is pregnant? Oh, that's like a vocal exercise.
Well, no, that's Tony Stark. That's Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Tony Stark.
Yeah. We said Thor was the big one.
Oh, sorry. Did I say Thor? Sorry, Iron Man. Tony Stark. Sorry.
I think he's going to live, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Because they need him to do the final speech. And it's going to be at Cap's funeral. And they need him to, like they can't kill him off because then he can't do that scene where he walks away.
That is such a good point. You're throwing fastballs here. That's a great point.
So I think Thor is gone.
He can't die.
But here's the thing. Thor in the comics comes back as different people, right? I think you're actually going to get a new Thor and Loki. And here's what I really want to see. I want to see the adventures of young Thor and young Loki on Netflix. I want a second generation TV show, and I want them as teenagers.
It's a great idea. There's so much on Netflix. It's just a maze of what's that? Oh, yeah. Ozark. I'm supposed to watch that. Oh, I got to catch up on Better Call Saul. And there's enough. Okay, everyone, stop making shows. I need to catch up.
So true. Can we get a moratorium on shows?
Yeah, no more making
6 months
shows.
Catch up.
Yeah, I'm sorry for everyone who's going to lose work and money, but
my PVR is never below 94%. Never below. Like, if I get it under 95% because I've got to tape something.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm an old movie buff.
Yeah.
So, Manchurian Candidate's on.
I'm going to for sure watch that.
Right, and then 6 months later, it's still sitting there.
You're pontificating about Angela Lansbury is one of the top 5 most underrated movie villains of all time, and yet you still haven't watched it on your PVR. DVR.
But isn't she though?
Oh, she's great.
She's so good.
So good.
You know who's really underrated in the old movies? Mm. Shelley Winters.
Oh yeah.
Shelley Winters is a great actress.
Yeah.
I watched The Night of the Hunter the other day. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's one of those movies that when it's on, you can't not watch it. That's and then I wind up recording it.
Yeah.
And then I'm back up to 98% again. Yeah. But the next day Blade Runner's on, so I gotta like delete some stuff. And,
yep.
Yeah, it's anyway.
Didn't think the podcast would end with hot Shelley Winters talk, but
is there any other kind?
There we go. Bob, fantastic job by you. Great rant on Babcock, and hopefully next week is more fun and we're talking about the Raptors after they win game one.
You know, we should probably try to do the pod early. Do you think you're going to see Avengers over the weekend?
Maybe on Saturday afternoon.
Try to see it so we can do a pod where we talk, because if we wait too late in the week, we can't really talk Avengers.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to hear a review 7 days after something's been released.
Okay. I think I can probably see it on Saturday.
You know my daughter.
Yeah.
You know how fidgety she is.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to take her, but the runtime is 3 hours and 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Yeah, I agree, but Sandra's like, no, she's going to love it. I'm like, Sandra, I'm going to spend half the time in the hall walking her up and down.
No, you cannot leave the theater.
Right, so I exactly. It's not like it's the Don Quixote movie and I'm begging for the hallway.
Give your parents the gift of a grandchild for, you know, part of the afternoon.
Right.
Yeah.
3.5 hours.
Good. Let it go on.
No, no, I'm saying she can't do that.
Yeah, she can. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like Hulk Hogan. You can't do that. My Mr. Perfect reference for the day. Matt, thanks for making the time today.
Yeah.
I gave you a late text yesterday saying we should do an emergency pod.
Makes total sense.
Win or lose.
Win or lose.
It's the biggest topic of the year.
Yeah.
You know, now all we can say is go Raps. They got they got a championship in them if they catch the breaks.
Go Raps. Go Jon Snow. Go Iron Man. And let's see. And Vlad Guerrero Jr. Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.